Well, once again, as we look at the life of David, we find the faith of David being put to the test. He had gone away from the Lord to a certain extent, but he had returned to the Lord. And in his newfound faith and determination to honor God in his life, he is put to the test. That's often the way it is. When someone starts to show that they're serious about serving God, the reality of that is tested. And God gives people the opportunity to show that they really are serious about serving him. And David was given that opportunity in these chapters. I want to speak, first of all, about David obeying God when it wasn't easy. At the start of chapter 23, David receives news that the Philistines are attacking a town in Israel called Keilah. King Saul is doing nothing about it. He's not bothered. And David wonders, should he and his men go and do what Saul should have done? And so he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord tells him clearly that he should go. Verse 2, God says, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. David tells his men, that's what we're going to do. And they think, well, this is not a good idea at all. And they are not keen. And they told him in verse 3, he says, look, we're afraid here in Judah as we are. And how much more if we go and attack the Philistines, go to Keilah and attack them? Well, David realized they had a point. He recognized that there was a valid fear that they had there. And so he returns to the Lord to check that he has heard things correctly. And verse 4, David inquires of the Lord again, and the Lord says to him, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. And so you have God saying one thing, and you have all of David's supporters, all of those who are on his side, saying the opposite. And it was decision time for David. He couldn't please God and please his men, and he couldn't please his men and please God. He had to make a choice. What was David to do? He was being put to the test. God was telling him clearly, this is what I want you to do. This is what you have in your heart to do, and I'm telling you, go and do it. But nobody else was telling him to go and do it. Everybody else was saying, look, David, this isn't wise. And so his faith was being put to the test. David knew what he should do, but nobody was telling him to do that. And as he would have thought about it, well, those who were giving him advice, they would have many good reasons why he shouldn't do this thing. They maybe told him, look, David, this isn't your problem. You're not the king yet. This is Saul's problem. He would have been aware of the fact that he was going to be risking the lives of his only supporters. These men were the only men he had. And he was going to put their lives on the line. He would have recognized also that if he did this, it could make things even worse with Saul. If David goes and has success, Saul will be even more angry, even more jealous. He may have thought also of his recent experience among the Philistines, where he had pretended to be a man who was totally insane. And he might have thought, well, the Philistines aren't going to be afraid of me now. They're thinking I'm a madman, and their courage is going to be up. Or he may have thought, maybe this is a trap. Maybe this is something that Saul has arranged. And he thinks it would just be like David to go and rescue these people, and then I'll have him. There were all sorts of reasons why it might not have been wise to do what David thought he should do. And the experience of David was the experience of Jesus, the son of David, also. There were many times when Jesus had to do things against the advice of his family, against the advice of his disciples. Jesus had to do what he knew was the will of his father. And just as David was to go against Keilah, Jesus went to Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. He knew that was the will of God, and that's what he did. And David here knows what the will of God is, and he decides that he's going to do the will of God. And so he does. And for God's people today, there will be those kind of situations in life. There'll be times when you'll know what you really should do. But there will also be many good and plausible reasons for not doing what you know you really should do. There will also be people who would advise you that it really wouldn't be a good idea to do what you know you should do. Now, God doesn't always make it easy for his followers to do his will. Sometimes we have to do it against all that we're advised, in the consciousness that there is great danger involved in what we do. Obedience to God's will was the hard route for David to go, but he knew that was the only right way. And so he set his face to do that thing, and his men went with him. Now, they were willing to follow him because they believed that he was convinced this was the will of God. So David's faith was put to the test, and he passed the test. He obeyed God when it was easier to not obey God. David behaved like a godly king. This is the kind of thing he would need to do when he became king, and he was doing it already. He didn't use his own troubles as an excuse for neglecting the needs of others. He didn't say, look, I have enough to worry about here without thinking about these folk. David exercised his faith in the Lord. And when you exercise something, it gets stronger. David had to step out in faith and believe that God said he'd be with him, God would give him the victory. And he went out and did that. And that's the way it worked out. And David's faith was strengthened. Use your faith, and your faith will grow stronger. Don't use your faith, and it'll fade away. It's like when you're lying in bed for weeks, and your muscles fade away and become useless, and you're feeble and you're flabby. If you don't use your faith, that's what happens to it. But David used his faith, and his faith grew strong. He was tested. He obeyed God when it wasn't easy. In the second place, I want you to think, what were the consequences of obedience? There were both negative consequences and positive consequences of that choice that David made. One of the negative consequences was that Saul now knew where he was. Saul had been trying to find David. He couldn't find him. And then Saul hears that David has gone to Keilah. And suddenly, Saul becomes interested in Keilah. He had ignored Keilah and all the problems of the people there. But when he hears that David is in Keilah, well then, he quickly takes an interest in that place. He hadn't fancied going there to fight against the Philistines. But if he can go there and get rid of David, well, that's what he'll do. And he gathers his forces, his 3,000 men, his forces for battle to go to Keilah. He intends to besiege David, to surround him and his men. But David learns what Saul's intentions were, and David consults the Lord. And it must have been hard for David when he did that. When he asked the Lord, is Saul really going to come down here? God says, yes, he is. And then David asks a question he probably didn't want to ask this question. He says, will these citizens of Keilah, whom I have delivered from the Philistines, will they hand me over to Saul? God says they will. That's just exactly what they're going to do. They will hand you over to Saul. You've delivered them. You've risked your life of your men. You've got rid of the Philistines, you've got them back their property, and yet, when Saul comes, they'll hand you over to him. Wasn't much gratitude there from the people whose lives David had saved. He had done them nothing but good at great personal risk and cost, and yet they would betray him in order to save their lives. Happened to David, it happened also to the son of David, the Lord Jesus. Jesus experienced this kind of thing. He did good to people. He did good to his own people. And yet he knew when it came to the bit that they were the ones who would put him to death. So they did. But Jesus was determined that he was going to do the will of God. And Jesus went to Jerusalem knowing what was going to happen in Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to be put to death. David was able to avoid things because of what God said. But Jesus didn't avoid death. He chose death because in his death he would save his people from their sins. Well, David doesn't take any action against the inhabitants of Keilah. He doesn't take revenge upon them. He just moves on. His men scatter, they spread, go to different places in order to spare any bloodshed in the city of Keilah. That was a hard thing for David to live with. The ingratitude, that's what he would have felt. And that kind of thing can easily lead to bitterness. People like to feel appreciated. David didn't feel appreciated, but he didn't allow himself to become bitter. He knew that he had done what was right. He knew that he had done that in order to please God. And so he had to flee. And once again, he's in a situation where every day he is afraid for his life. Verse 14 tells us that Saul sought him every day. That's the way it was for David. Every day was a dangerous day. Every day his life was under threat. And when Jesus, the son of David, was in this world, that's what it was like for him. Once his public ministry began, every day they were out to get him. The religious leaders were against him, and the time came when all they wanted to do was put him to death. Every day his life was sought, and Jesus pressed on in his ministry. Also within chapter 23, we're told about the people who are called Ziphites, and they go to Saul and they say, well, we'll tell you where David is, and Saul's pleased with them. And he follows their directions, and Saul and his men are closing in. They're surrounding David. And then Saul hears word that the Philistines have invaded, and he has to turn around. And David and his men are delivered. And they would have been conscious that God had delivered them once again. Lives in great danger, and God delivers them. But these were the negative consequences of David's choice. But there were also positive consequences. There are two things that David would have seen as being good. First of all, previously it said that he had 400 men, and now it says that he has 600 men, so his number of supporters has increased. And then also there's that little incident where David is visited by Jonathan, the son of Saul. And in verse 16, we're told that Jonathan finds David. He does what Saul wasn't able to do. Jonathan finds him, and Jonathan strengthened his hand in God. Or Jonathan helped him to find strength in God. And that's what David needed at that time. And Jonathan came just at the right time. And here is a man who knew that his brother must be struggling, with all that he had to cope with. And Jonathan goes and finds him, and he strengthens his hand in God. David needed that fellowship. He needed that companionship. He needed to hear those words that Jonathan brought to him. And so this was a good thing that God brought out of all of this for David. But we can see that choosing to obey the Lord, it brought very mixed consequences for David. And sometimes when we know what we have to do, and we do that thing, it can seem to bring more problems than it brings benefits. It can arouse the opposition of others, their enmity. It can arouse jealousy within others. And there are people who don't like to admit that there are others who take God more seriously than they do. And they can be very hostile to those who show a heart to go God's way in life. And if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you should expect that that's what you'll get. There'll be many people that will be negative about the right choices that you make. But there will be blessings and there will be benefits also. And there'll be the odd person. There'll be that person who'll be a real help to you, a real strength to you along the way, like Jonathan was to David. So David was tested in these things, and he did the right thing, and the results were a real mixed bag. Also, let's just think about David and how he spared King Saul. Chapter 24, he's tested in a different way from the previous chapter. Saul has got back to doing what Saul does. He's trying to kill David. And it so happens in God's providence that David and his men are in the back of a cave, and Saul comes into that cave to use it as a toilet. David's men say, "Well, look, David, this is a golden opportunity." And they invent something that God had said about handing his enemy over to him. Verse 4, "Behold," they say, "this is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" Well, David doesn't do what his men encourage him to do. But he does creep up to where Saul has put his robe, probably over a rock, and he cuts a little corner off it. And he even feels guilty about doing that, because he knows Saul is the Lord's anointed, and he doesn't want to act against the Lord's anointed. But then when Saul goes out of the cave, David goes out after him, and then he shouts to Saul, and Saul turns around and sees that David has been in the cave. Saul sees that David hasn't done him any harm. And Saul was a man who was shaken by that experience. He is shaken by it, and he is reduced to tears. And he is humbled by this experience, and he acknowledges that David is innocent in all of this business. And that he acknowledges that David will indeed succeed Saul as king. And at the end of the chapter, Saul goes back to his palace, but he's not a truly changed Saul. And David stays out in the wilds hiding because he knows what Saul is really like. But Saul was a man who wept tears. And Saul was a man who saw things the way they really were. His tears were for real, and his emotions were for real. He was confronted by the truth, and he saw the situation in Israel the way it really was. Wasn't David that was the guilty one that was conspiring against Saul? It was Saul was the guilty one. But Saul returned to his murderous ways again. He wept tears over what he was like. He saw what he was really like. But he couldn't change what he was really like. And went back to being what he was. That's the way people are too. There are people who hear the gospel message. They hear about Jesus Christ dying as a substitute for sinners. They know they're sinners themselves, and they think, and it was for the sins of people like me that Jesus died that death. And they feel it in their hearts. They feel it in their emotions. And there may be tears in their eyes, and they will not repent. Saul was like that. Sad, sad figure of a man. He had the truth staring him in the face, but he went back to being the same old Saul. It was all temporary. People can weep. People can say the right thing. That doesn't mean they're saved. There are many people around today, and they've had their moments, had their times, and they saw the gospel clearly, saw themselves as a sinner as they were. They saw the work of Christ for what it is, but they've left it all and gone back to what they were. Saul didn't repent, but David shows what a king should be. David showed great respect for God's anointed. David wasn't willing to base his decisions on interpreting the way things looked. He resisted what his men said to him, and he did what was right. Didn't take things into his own hands. He was commendable in the way he acted towards an enemy. He left revenge to the Lord. He didn't take that vengeance upon himself. And in the New Testament, we're told that that's what we are to be like. In Romans 12, verse 14 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." Verse 17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." Verse 19, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath." Verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." David did all those things. He passed the test. He showed that he was serious about serving the Lord. He wanted to do things God's way, not his own way. Gordon Keddie says, "Nothing reveals more the reality of the love of Christ in a person's heart, or nothing more starkly indicates its absence than the way we treat those who have done us some wrong." He says, "A vindictive spirit argues a lack of grace in the heart." Where there is revenge in the heart, there is an absence of the grace of God. David was showing that he had the grace of God in his heart. Saul saw it. He was overcome by it, but he didn't have the grace of God in his heart. So David was tested in these things. He got involved when he could easily have opted out, and he refused to do wrong when he was being urged to do what was wrong. And those weren't easy tests. Those were challenges. And it required great moral strength and character and determination to do what was right in those things. And this was the David who, just a little while earlier, was making the wrong choices. And he was going his own way rather than God's way. And God had turned him around, and he had given him this strength in his heart. And God is able to give people great courage and faith when they set their faces towards serving him. We're not left alone in the Christian faith. God, the Holy Spirit, is sent to work in the hearts of those who seek to follow Jesus. Jonathan helped David to find strength in God. And God, the Holy Spirit, helps the followers of Jesus to find strength in God. It wasn't easy for David to do what he needed to do. God gave him the strength to do it. And in life, in discipleship, it's not easy to do what a Christian should do. But God, by his Spirit, can give us all we need to make those right choices and take whatever consequences come with it. Amen.